If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky.
Another confirmed Time Media production.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. It was something good to eat. It was something good to watch.
The big and lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm Vines. I'm back. I'm back with another one. We got Nima Esgari. How you going?
It's going well. How are you?
Well, thank you for stopping by.
Me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. So tell us about yourself. How long you been? You said you was born in where?
Tehran. So Tehran, Iran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, describe the transition from coming over to, you know, to the United States.
Yeah. So I was born in Tehran, Iran. Been here for about 15 years now. Came here in October of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I was 9 years old. Came here. Went to University of Louisville. I was actually going to be a dentist. Fun fact. Yeah, I was going to be a dentist. Yeah, I was big into the teeth and all that, and up until I realized I wouldn't make a good dentist.
Why wouldn't you?
I just, with dentistry, you actually got to have good motor skills, yeah. And you got to like what you're doing, right? Because, like, you're going to be doing it your whole life. And I thought about it. I shadowed a few dentists, and I was like, you know, I don't think I'd be a good dentist. I don't think I'd be truly happy doing dentistry work the rest of my life. I'm from Middle East, so, like, we had those societal pressures of, like, parents wanting you to be, like, a doctor or a lawyer.
Right.
So
that's a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I always thought that was some type of, like, stereotype.
Nah. Oh. Every Middle Eastern you talk to, they're expected to either be a lawyer or a doctor.
Really?
And any of them who went against that, they were, like, the expats. They were, like, the ones, like, the black sheep in the family that just went against it. So decided I didn't want to be it. And I just went my own path, went the real estate route and, the business route. So, yeah.
So real estate. So would you say Louisville was one of the key places? Like, cause I always, you know, it's not big city. It's not the small city, but mm-hmm. you know, it's very affordable. Would you say it's one of the best places for real estate investor?
For a real estate investor? Yes. I actually think Louisville did place like 20th on like a national ranking as far as real estate investments go. One thing about Louisville that a lot of people don't realize, it's a good hub. That's why you got Amazon here. That's why you got UPS here.
It is.
It's a really good central location hub. Even with like the Ohio River and everything, you're next to four major big cities, Chicago, Indianapolis, Nashville.
Atlanta.
Atlanta being here. Exactly. So in that sense, it makes it a really good hub. And investment-wise and just work-wise, it'll always be a place where there is some type of opportunity. And so that makes it really appealing when it comes to investments, right?
Right.
That's why a lot of people own rentals here. A lot of people from California actually own rentals in Louisville. A lot of people from Chicago own rentals in Louisville. So the housing market here, although in the rest of the nation it's slowed down, it's still kept up. It's still kept up pretty well.
It did.
Yeah.
I was a small-time investor, and I kept getting outbid by these big LLCs. And,
yep.
And this is pre-COVID, so I kind of seen the – I wouldn't say it. Would you say we're in a housing crisis?
Housing crisis in what aspect?
Like affordability for the average
person. Absolutely. I think houses have skyrocketed for quite some time now. And I think a lot of people have been waiting for them to dip. Like kind of like 08, 09.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to.
Me either.
So, yeah, I would say we're definitely in a housing affordability crisis for sure. Where wages don't match up what these prices are going for. I mean, I'm pretty sure the median household price right now is like $288, which is outrageous.
It is. Is that just in Louisville?
In Louisville.
That is wild. Yeah. So what would you say some ways to curb that? Is it a way to, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so my biggest thing has always been like with housing, with money, with anything financial related, it comes down to information and who you know. I was just talking to my buddy about this earlier. I was like, and the way to make money is one, who you know, and two, what information you have available to you. Because you could buy houses still with almost zero down. You just got to have the right loan officer who could get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I go to Stockyards tomorrow, no offense to Stockyards, I'm actually closing with them soon. But if I go to Stockyards tomorrow, they're not going to be able to give me a loan with zero down. But if I know a good loan broker, which I do actually, use them for all the properties I bought, and so far I bought five. If I go to him, he could tell me, hey, there's this product available that you could take advantage of. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So although there is competitiveness, I feel like if you really want something and you go after it, you could find it. And I've had good success with that. I think if you have the right plan in place, the right who, and the right execution, you could do it even in an affordability crisis. I really do.
So which one would you say is more important, cash or capital? I mean, capital or credit?
Capital or credit? If you're borrowing, obviously credit. If you're in a market like today, probably capital. You could use both of them simultaneously for the best, obviously, advantage. Right. But I've made good amount of money off of credit. So I would lean more towards the credit. Being younger, capital is limited. So I would lean more towards credit myself, but you can make both of them work. It just depends, again, who you talk to and what information you have available to you. If you have, with back to the point of houses real quick, if you have a good realtor that knows what they're talking about and can find you good deals and can send them to you, you just made a cheat code in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So everything really just comes back to that. I would argue you don't even have to have any of those. And there is still a way. It just who you talk to and where they could lead you.
What way is that, if you don't mind?
I mean, there's different ways in everything, right? So when I started, when I got into investment, housing buying and all that, I had $0 and obviously limited credit. I was 19 years old. So I had to go borrow money. And I couldn't borrow from a bank, couldn't borrow from a lender. But I talked to a lender who told me what I could do, and that to that point of information, and that just like gave me a click. Go to friends and family, okay? Not saying everyone has that, but if you have some type of good credibility and you could go and convince people that you'll pay them with interest to lend you money, most, I would say 6 out of 10 times you would.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to have 100% success rate, but 6 out of 10 times they're going to lend you money. Put that together, get about $20,000. Now you have down payment.
Down payment.
On a $200,000 home. See what I'm saying?
So let's just give you a hypothetical. Let's say somebody got a house that's paid for cash.
Okay.
Would it make any sense to refinance in this economy?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Why would you let a house sit? Why would you? It goes back again to like your goals, okay?
Right.
If you're trying to make money, absolutely. If you're trying to do something, yes, refinance. If you're not, if you're maybe older perhaps and you're just chilling, yeah, let that money sit. Park it.
Right.
That's cool. But if your goal is to make more money, I would definitely take my money out and I would use the bank's money, which is what you're doing when you're refinancing,
right,
to pursue your other careers. That's what I did with Olympus. Do it over again if I could.
Let's get into the Olympus. Like, what made you want to, you know, bring gaming to Louisville?
That's a good question. Good question. So
I think it's like the first of its kind in Louisville, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. First of its kind in the region, actually, at least according to my research. So I do real estate development consulting, real estate and business development consulting. So after my real estate like run that I had, I decided I like real estate, but I didn't want to be an agent, right? And so I got into the more paperwork, the more research based behind it, because I was really good with my numbers. Like I actually today, perfect example, we were out doing something and a friend asked, like, how much do you think this home would be? I told him 340 and his guess was like 385. Pulled it up on the like our comp thing that realtors use. Sure enough, looked it up, it was 340. So I got over time, over about 3 years, I got really good with being, and my dad's a handyman. So throughout my life, I've been able to go to places with him, see the things he does, talk to his friends. So that knowledge has kind of built up over the years, right? So anyway, decided to go move towards the consulting where I basically help people identify good properties and research them and come up with good business ideas and such for them. So for this specific property, 4741 Rockford Plaza,
mm-hmm.
I found Dixie. Somebody hired me to do the same thing. So I was supposed to come up with a research report for them on what I think the best business idea out of that building would be. Long story short, I worked with him for a year and a half. He was a hotel investor, so he was well established. These guys are looking for something that's like higher risk but higher reward, just because ever since COVID, their margins have slimmed down a lot. And so they're looking for something new. And so that's my job, to come up with creative business ideas. So I gave them five different ones, gaming lounge being one of them. And the reason why I recommended a gaming lounge is when I looked up the report, I saw that Dixie, like the location, yeah. the people down there, they love entertainment and they love sports. And they also love gaming.
So where's this information at? Where are you looking this up?
Yeah, good question. It's called RPR.
Uh-huh.
Realtor Property Resource.
Okay.
So it's basically a resource that realtors have access to, and it's all of the information regarding real estate combined. So they have all the census, they have all the reviews, they have all the bureau stuff that gets done. So all this stuff is tracked by some company, and they buy that information. And they make it available to us with the money we pay them yearly. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in that report, it literally set this stuff. And I pulled it. I showed them the reports. I told them, hey, these are my ideas based on this. And then I went in and fact-checked it even more. So after that, he chose the gaming lounge because that was my number one recommendation. And he was like, that's the one I want to do. And I was like, okay. But he was a little worried. He was older, 53.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my whole job for a year and a half. That's what he hired me to do. And when he was worried, I told him, you know what, I'll do it 50-50 with you. 50% me, 50% you, because I was confident in it. And he said, okay. And so I started the actual research. Now, the actual research is a report that I come up with. After you made your decision, I'll go and I'll research that specific industry. So I did everything I could for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Atlanta, went to Chicago, went to LA, went to Iceland, went to Norway, went to the Middle East, just to look at how other gaming lounges do in other places.
Right.
Just to get their vibe, just to understand their business, talk to the owners, set up meetings. It's a pretty cool job. I love what I do now, I tell you that. And so when I did this, by the time I had wrapped everything up, I came up with Olympus, came up with the design, came up with the concept, came up with the logo, came up with the vision I had for it. I actually gave them 10 partnerships with high schools who had agreed to come to Olympus. Had Olympus been done by December, I had them on a signed piece of paper, had three colleges, Bellarmine, Spalding, and U of L, although U of L was on a club level, I'll admit, because they're
done by this December?
By this past 24.
Okay.
24. Because I had been working on it for so long. Anyway, it didn't get done by December. And the last day before we were about to sign everything to, like, buy the building and start the project, dude backed out.
Wow.
Swear to God, he backed out. His hotel didn't sell. Yeah. So it's business. I mean, business is business. It's not personal. Like, it is what it is. And he backed out, so just kind of left me hanging, and he paid me my part. He paid me for the work that I had done, which is fair. And so I was just praying, and I was asking God what I should do, and one day he told me to go back. And so kind of went back, and I've always had a passion with youth. I'm really passionate about youth. I think I had a really good childhood, and if I could help other youth have something similar, I think it'll have really positive impacts in their lives. And so I knew the importance of a gaming lounge. I had one growing up as well. When I was 9, I used to go with my friends in Iran. We go there every single day. We eat our food. We play our games, eat our snacks, go home, repeat. It was like a repeated cycle. We all turned out okay. The kids that would make fun of us for going to a gaming lounge, not so much. They tend to like find trouble or trouble find them.
Right.
And so I knew Dixie was the perfect place for it. We always want to complain about our youth. being out and finding trouble, but it's like there's literally nothing. We don't have state fairs anymore for them, unless they're with a supervision of a 21-year-old. They can't go to the malls no more. They can't go anywhere by themselves no more. They can't be in the streets because it's too dangerous and there's crazy people out there. So there is no safe space for kids. So that's how Olympus came to life. Just created that safe space. Fun fact, though,
it looks like a nice setup. It looks like I gotta come check it out.
You gotta come check it out for sure. I try to build it like LA. I try to build like something like LA or New York would have. That's what I did when I brought Olympus to Vision. So that was the whole goal, is to give people that same vibe, that same energy, and to deliver that experience.
So what's the, like, you ain't got to give an exact dollar amount. Like, what's the budget on that? Because it seems like
$1.5 million.
No shit.
Nah, I promise you.
That's amazing, man.
Yep, $1.5 million.
So what's the return on investment? Like, how quick do you want, like, to get in the green? Like, how?
Well, to get in the green, I haven't been in the green ever since I opened. Still not in the green, actually, but that's okay. To get in the green, I probably would have to average out about $300,000 a year. Still not a quick return on investment. I should say I own the building, so that cost is included in there, the real estate. So typically whenever you're factoring a business, people don't include that, but that's included. I like to make my return within 3 to 5 years. I think I can, but, Olympus is a long-term play. And if I could keep it going the way I want to, I just want the business to break even. Right. If the business breaks even and I don't have to pay out of pocket operating costs, I'm fine with that. I'm more than okay with that. That's my whole goal. I'm not trying to, I do fine in real estate to where, like, I don't need that to be my daily bread maker.
Mm-hmm.
And, if it could succeed in two of its missions, which is breaking even and providing kids in that part of town somewhere safe, somewhere fun they could go to that's entertaining, it is what it is. Because we charge $10 an hour, and each setup is like $5,000. That's
pretty affordable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Each setup is $5,000.
Really?
Yeah. Each, like, desk.
Each little monitor is $5,000.
Not monitor. Yeah. But it comes with monitor, headset, keyboard, mice, desk, chair. Okay. Yeah, each of those costs is $5,000, and we have 42 of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's just in the hardware.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't include the internet, the lights, renovations to the building, none of that.
So what are some of, like, the obstacles you got to overcome with Olympus Gaming?
That's a good question. So it used to be the old Melon's grocery store, if anybody knows what that used to be.
Yeah, but mine used to stay in the apartments, right?
Yeah.
Right the corner, right behind them, yep.
So, man, that building was a show. For starters, there was water coming out of the concrete, quite literally water coming out of the concrete. So that wasn't fun. We had to seal that. We had to renovate that. It has flooded on me like 4 or 5 different times, so that sucked. The hardest and the biggest obstacle of Olympus was getting funding for it.
Right.
Because obviously that amount that I gave you, that's not cash. Like, I didn't have that liquid cash to give, right? So I obviously got loans. And finding someone to finance a project that hasn't been done anywhere in the region and has no comps, and you're going to banks who are typically older and more traditional people, right, and convincing them to invest in you was probably the hardest thing I've done. I got 9 no's before I got a yes, so that was fun. Just being able to be motivated, being able to, like, believe in your mission to the point where a no is like, okay, it's just another no, I'll get a yes. And just going and going and going and going at it and betting in it. That's probably the hardest part.
I read that y'all was open 24 hours, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
So what made you want to go 24/7? Like, that's amazing right there. Like,
yeah. So to the point of providing a safe, fun environment,
uh-huh,
and understanding that gamers, they're usually night owls.
Yeah.
And they like to game at night. And if they like to game at night, chances are it's going to be late. So we can't stay open late. So we have our normal hours, which is Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 10, and then Saturday, 12 to 10 p.m. And then it's 24 hours for our members. Our members are monthly members who pay us monthly, and they could come in at any given time. So they could come in at 3 a.m. So sometimes we go in there, and it's Sunday, and like today I went in there, and obviously we're closed, but there was four people in there playing.
Okay.
So just want to be able to give you all the value you possibly can. So by you investing in us, we're investing in you and allowing you to access a certain number PC at any given time you want for less than $3 a day.
So, yeah, I was about to say, how much is a membership? Like, what type of packages do you have?
It's $99 a month, unlimited.
You can't beat that.
Yeah. On a 5K PC with 2 gig direct fiber internet. No lag, no nothing. I did the math. It would take you 50 months to pay us for one setup. So you'd have to come to us for over 4 years.
Wow. So what advice would you give to other small businesses that's trying to turn their passions into something real?
Ooh, good question. Follow your vision. I think everyone's been given like a God-given vision. I really do.
I think so too. I think maybe every so like 4 or 5 years that God puts the vision to maybe like 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
But it's only that certain person is going to take, you know, adversity and keep going, you know, and
yeah.
Keep fruition.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky.
But also, to that point real quick, and I'll answer your question, but I love that, like, rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
To that point, I've been trying to study religion a little bit more, mm-hmm. and looking at the disciples, like Jesus' disciples, and I'm Muslim, so like Muhammad's followers and so forth. What's kind of cool about it is like all these people you hear of, they all had extreme like adversity of their own, right?
Yeah,
they had to overcome. And to that point, I really do think like, yeah, you have to, adversity is almost like the price you pay that like you need to do to become successful, I feel like. Like there is no ifs and buts. So to any business, small business owner that is possibly struggling out there, I would tell them to don't listen to people who try to shoot down your dreams, because if they're doing that, they're likely not chasing their own.
Right.
If they're doing that, they're likely not chasing their own, and that's why they have opportunity to hate on your game, because no person doing better than you is ever going to hate on you.
Never.
Never. Inevitable. And I research this stuff. So, like, for me, researching is fun, and this is what I sit and, like, I look at, and, like, trends. So
do you study people?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, you can study, you can learn a lot of people from different habits, you know,
yep.
good and bad.
Yep.
So how do you balance being fun, social space, while running a serious business behind the scenes?
Man, life's not serious. It's really not.
I laugh a lot.
It's not that serious, man. You know, God, the best influence that I've kind of like been able to receive and see, because in life, I think you need to see. And that's what I'm trying to do with Olympus, is I need to show people of Louisville, yes, you can have nice things. Yes, you could have a vision and follow it. Yes, you could be whatever you want to be. That's what I got to do. And if I could get people to understand that, more people would replicate that, right?
Right.
And so what I've seen in life is like, you could be the best. You could do everything you possibly can and still fail. You could be the best. You could be the awesomest. You could be the healthiest and still die. You could be the poorest. You could be the ugliest and still die. It's all the same. So it's not that serious. Whatever you do, it's just not serious. And like, if you really think about it, we've been around for God knows how many years, 3,000 years, I think, maybe longer.
Right.
Think about how many people came before you. Think about all the stuff they had. Think about what they did. How many of them do you remember?
Right.
Not many. So I really think like you're meant to come here and perform your purpose, whether it be starting a business that's successful or it be just being good by your family. I don't know what that purpose is, and for everyone it's different, but I really do think that that's all it is. So just being a good, kind-hearted person, yeah, having good intentions.
Yeah, that's, I take pride in being a good stand-up person. Like, people ask me, what's my religion? My religion is sleeping easy at night. Serious, like, I don't, you know, that I'm not, you know, doing yep. bad things to people. I'm not mm-hmm. double-crossing and doing the right thing. I might help an old lady across the street. That's my, you know.
Yeah.
So what kind of feedback, if any, you got back from parents that might bring their kids there, like, from the community? Like,
I'm going to be honest with you, Brandon. I've had a harder time getting the community out like I like.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you. I like to tell you a few things. So for starters, we still get people a block away that come to us and tell us they didn't know we existed. That's partly probably because of we don't spend any money on ads. I have a $0 ad budget. I refuse to spend money on ads.
Why?
Because who's that money going to? I don't need it going to them.
Right.
So if I could do it organically, why not? That's part of it. Another part of it is we're at an old Melon's grocery store that used to be vacant for 4 years. So people literally drive by and still don't notice us because they have that self-conscious thing in their mind that, oh, that's the old Melon's. I promise you, you have no idea how many people that have to this day come to the facility. And we've been open for 5 months, mind you, that are like, oh, we didn't even know you're here. We're tucked away in a corner, so we don't really have
too much through traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's made it harder for people to realize us. All of that hasn't really helped. Sometimes we get people that come in that are real excited about it. They talk real big. They love it. They don't come back, you right. know. Don't know what it is that doesn't bring them back, but it is what it is. However, we do have big tournaments, and they do really well. So, like, we have a Tekken tournament, a fighting tournament, the last Saturday of every month. They do extremely well. We bring over 100 people each time.
Really?
Yeah, Red Bull is about to sponsor them, actually. So that's been really good.
Is it open to the public?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, open to the public. We give away over, like, $800 worth of cash. Yeah. So that's cool. We are doing more community-based events. So we did, like, a trick-or-treat with, like, Fire, Shively Fire and Shively PD. It brought about 40 people out. That was cool. The turkey drive we got coming up.
Yeah.
November 15th. That should bring more people out. But really, to your question earlier, with parents, I just need parents to realize gaming is not as bad as they think it is.
It isn't.
It isn't at all. It actually has a lot of benefits. A lot of benefits. It's a KHSAA recognized sport, sanctioned sport, which means Kentucky recognizes it as an actual sport. There's colleges giving out full rides. Right. Bellarmine gives out scholarships for it. So the Spalding now. They're one of our biggest sponsors, Bellarmine University. Matter of fact, November 22nd, Bellarmine University is coming down for a showcase.
Okay.
Where amazing. People could come play Fortnite, yeah. and they're using it as a recruitment method. It builds fine motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
Motor skills are very important. I know because I didn't have good ones, and that's why I wasn't going to be a good dentist. So hand-eye coordination, that's very important. It's a good stress reliever.
It is.
A lot of people don't realize that either. Good outlet. And it's what the world is using to make the world go around. The Army, the Navy. What do you
video
think
games?
That's? Yes.
So you say they train their soldiers with video games?
I'm not saying I know they do.
Okay.
They're also the biggest, typically, not with us, but they're usually the biggest sponsors of video game centers.
Really?
Yep.
The Army and the Navy.
The Army and the Navy. What do you think those drones that we hear of all the time are? Like, those drones don't have a physical person in them, man. Right. They're just some dude behind a computer. And they're just flying them. Boom, boom, boom. Done.
So what's next for Olympic Gaming?
What's next for
Olympus Gaming?
I don't know. That's probably not a good answer.
But what you said, you said no ads. That's kind of...
No ads.
You wouldn't think, like you're the first person that ever came up here, like...
No ads.
No ads. Like, no promotion budget, no...
Zero. Swear to God, everything we do is organic. We get about 40,000 views on Instagram every 30 days.
Yeah.
We get on TikTok, we get about 80,000 views every 30 days. On Facebook, we get about 35,000. No ads. I don't believe in supporting ads.
So do you study social media algorithm?
Yeah. Typically ads. So once you pay, okay, here's the thing with ads. You got to think who you're paying, right? When you pay them.
You're paying Meta, I guess.
Yeah.
I Google. What
yeah. Them. Whenever you pay them, they obviously boost your post. That throts it for next time. So next time you post, you're not going to get as many views because you have this chokehold on your account till you pay them again.
That kind of makes sense. That kind of, I kind of believe it because I'll run some ads in like the next couple of days, like, God dang, like, what I got to do to.
They're trying to get more money out of you. It doesn't kind of make sense. That is the sense.
Uh-huh.
I promise you. So think about it. It's a capitalistic country.
Right.
They're trying to make more money and doing everything they can to make more money out of you.
So what do you think with the monetization of social media, do you think it's harder to go organically natural or
organically viral? Absolutely. Yep. They have made it. It used to be easier to go viral than it is nowadays. So if you go viral today, and it's going to get harder. I still think if you start today and go viral today, you're going to do a lot better than if you were to wait 2 years and start in 2 years. Because really? They're going to get more and more power over your social media.
Mm. I watched the social media experiment on Netflix, and they said everything you see is by program. Everything. It ain't no coincidence. It ain't no.
Mm-mm. Everything you see, all your information. You know what I wish? If I had one wish for humanity, is I wish people would read the terms and use of things more. Why do you think they're so long?
It is a lot of shit. Yeah, it is. You hear about the couple down in Disney. They, her husband fell or something and died, but they can't sue because they got Disney Plus. And in that terms agreement, like, that's so.
There's a reason why it's that long.
Right.
They pay hundreds and hundreds and millions of thousands and millions of dollars to have it be like that. Like, think about it. That used to be before ChatGPT.
Right.
They used to have those long terms and conditions even before ChatGPT. So they would pay lawyers millions and millions of dollars to make it that long so you wouldn't read it, so you wouldn't know what they're actually doing behind the scenes. Yeah,
he's dropping all type of gems. So how do you feel about ChatGPT? I'm new to it, and I use it for everything. Like, how do you feel about
it? You want my honest answer?
Yes.
Stop using it.
Really?
Either stop using it or limit your use. And I'll tell you why. First of all, I like to preface this. I have ChatGPT Plus, so I actually pay for ChatGPT. I have the $20 a month version. So I use it with limits myself. So what I'm saying, it applies, but sometimes I go against what I'm saying too because of the world we live in. But first of all, ChatGPT is free because you are the product.
Right.
You are literally.
If it's free, you are the product.
Exactly. Thank you. If it's free, you are the product. So you're training whatever model they want you to train for them. That's why it's free for you. Second of all, there's already been studies done that using ChatGPT limits 80% of your brain functions, really? Brain cell functions.
Uh-huh.
So if think about it, let's say you and I want to write an email, okay? Let's say you actually sit and write the email. You have to use brain power to do that.
Right.
I go and I tell ChatGPT to do it by done.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think used their brain more?
And a person that wrote it out.
Exactly. You did. Right? So, yes, it simplified the task for you, but it also limited your neural functions. So now long term, you're going to have a harder time using your brain because you're going to have a harder time thinking.
So you're saying in about 20, 30 years, the real side effects of ChatGPT?
Absolutely. I think.
Because, no lie, I used it, but I usually just type it in there, but this time I pressed the microphone and a person started talking to me. That creeped me the fuck out. I'm like, this is too much right here. Like, you know, tell me what you want me. I'm like, nah, I'm cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot where it was. A kid, he was talking to ChatGPT about suicide. Like, what's the best way to this and that? And he ended up killing himself.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. Man, not just ChatGPT, but, like, our cell phones. It's just inevitable. And it's unfortunate the route we're going down. It really is. I wish we weren't. Because sometimes I think about it, and it honestly makes me sad. Because one thing I'm really dependent on, Google Maps or yeah, Google iMaps, Maps. Whatever. Bro, I cannot do without that. Do you remember, this was a few months back. It was during summer. Do you remember when AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile, like, their cell servers went down for like, during the morning for, like, almost a day?
I think I remember that, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think a producer, he's shaking his head. He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There were videos on TikTok about grown men and women crying because they didn't know where to go in their own city.
Right.
In their own, and I'm at fault of this too. Like I'm the biggest like Maps user, so I'm not trying to say I'm not at fault, because I am. And honest to God, there are places in Louisville I still don't know how to get to without my maps. But it's so simple to just put it in and follow a line. It's almost stupid not to use. But right. Think about this. One day your internet could shut down.
And we toast.
And we're toast.
Especially the younger, you know.
We're toast. So,
do you remember MapQuest? Was you before that time? Because I remember back, we had MapQuest. Before we had maps, yeah.
No, I don't remember MapQuest.
MapQuest, this is like, before cell phones got real pop, it's like 05, 06 in that area.
Okay.
And you would go to MapQuest, type in where you want to go, and you would print out sheets. So we was following
the sheets.
Yeah, like sheets. So
it's scary, man.
It is scary.
So imagine that, the point I was trying to get at, imagine that, but with everything you do with ChatGPT, like all your thinking power.
Right.
So 20 years down the line, people ain't going to know, like, what? How to write an email? Like, how do I do that? How do I think? How do I, like, that's crazy.
It is.
Scary.
So let me ask you this. Do you ever see society going cashless? Because you go through a drive-thru these days and you hand somebody a bill, they look at you like you half retarded. Like it's almost like they just stick in the Apple Pay is so common. Like
society going cashless. Society will definitely go cashless.
Because I'm seeing signs now like we're not giving change out no more with a pin. You know, we'll round your change up. And so I think it's headed there. Because, you know, you can go to Walmart, any store, like, you know, yep. Apple Pay. And so I think we're eventually going there. I don't think it'll be in our lifetime.
I think you're going to have a chip in your hand or head.
Really? How soon is that? Like
20 years.
So have you ever seen that movie, what was it called? Everybody had chips in their head and it was like an office building. And they shut the office building down.
Mm-mm.
I forgot the name of the movie. You got to pull it up. You know what I'm talking about, B? It was the warehouse. No.
The warehouse?
It was something called. It was like everybody had chips in their head. They took over everybody. Like, if you don't kill 100 people, by this time, we're going to kill 500 people. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, it's wild. Like, because everybody.
All right, we got to get B to look that up.
Yeah, you got
to
look it up. Like, everybody has a chip. So, like, the military comes in and it locks down the office building. Let's just say it's 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody on the intercom says, you got an hour to kill 20 people, or I'm going to kill 40 people.
Oh, my gosh.
So everybody thought he was lying, or whoever was lying. And no lie, it was like a little bomb. The timing went off, and just people were just blowing up. Like, it's a pretty gruesome movie. You would like it. I forgot the name of it. Where the office? Oh, man, it came out maybe like almost between 2016 and like 13 or something like that. But back to that, you said we're going to have chips and all.
You know what they say about movies, though, right?
They send in a message. National, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Pre-programmed programming.
So would you ever get a chip and play? Like,
absolutely not. It's in the Bible. It's in the Quran. It's in the Bible.
What's that?
And that's the mark.
Mark of the beast?
Mm-hmm.
So how you feel about the COVID shot?
Yeah, I did. I wish I was older. I wish I had my own rights.
Right.
I was during the COVID shot, I was still living with my parents.
Uh-huh.
My parents are very timid people. I didn't have a choice. And it was like, you're getting it. And like, I mean, think about it. I went through college not being able to have the audacity to tell my parents I don't want to be a doctor. So it just kind of came. But as I got older, I got more audacity. And obviously, I was able to stand up for myself. So I did get the COVID shots, unfortunately.
So how was that when you, like, I guess you told them, like, I don't want to be a doctor. Like, how was that? Was that, did they take it well?
No. They still don't take it well.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a failure in terms of my parents and in their eyes.
Damn, sign me up to be a failure.
No, I'm serious. I'm a failure. Like, I'm not even joking.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And to all means, technically, still, I mean, the business is still a failure. Like, yeah, I had a good real estate run, but like, Olympus is technically still a failure, statistically speaking. So I get it. I mean, I don't hold it against them. It's just how they grew up, you know? Like, that's why I want to change the trajectory of kids. That's why I'm passionate about youth, man. That's what it all comes down to. Like, if you really think about it, youth are our foundation, and they're so important. They're so, so important because you're forming generations that are going to be forming generations, right?
Right.
Like, that's why I coach soccer. That's why I try to be as involved as I possibly can with kids, is because you're teaching people that are going to be teaching people that are going to be teaching people.
Right.
See what I'm saying? They are the future.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents grew up under a system that taught them you need education to be successful. So if they grew up and now they're in their 50s, 60s, and that's how they've been thinking their whole lives, can I really be that mad at them? Not really. You know what I'm saying? So it's to no fault of their own. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's hard having to, like, get yelled at or having to yell back at them. Like, no, like, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's just, it is life. And that's what they were taught. That's what they learned. And I just got to change that. And I got to make sure the next generation doesn't think that way. Hence Olympus. Hence education. Hence what we talked about before the podcast.
So who would you, like, as a young, you got a young 18, fresh out of high school, that needs some guidance, where would you suggest him to go? Like, where would you, what would be step?
Man, that gave me goosebumps. Swear to God, look. That question gave me goosebumps.
Oh, see, shit, look, I gave some goosebumps. Really?
I swear to God, look. See that?
Okay.
See that saying up?
Why? Because it was, like, close to home to hit, like, close to.
Yeah.
Got you.
And it's something I truly, like, for me, if I truly believe in something, I get passionate about it. And if I'm passionate about it, I can feel it. If you're 18, don't worry about making money. Swear to God, don't worry about making money. Because to that conversation earlier when I told you I borrowed money to, like, learn everything that I had learned about life, if you're 18, chances are you don't have much money, but you also don't have much to lose because you just started.
All right.
So what I would tell an 18-year-old is wipe yourself of everything clean. Don't go after what society tells you. Don't go after the drinking. Don't go after the woman. And find what you're meant to do. Find your purpose, because that's the only time you don't have bills yet, hopefully, fingers crossed. That's the only time you don't have that much in bills, and that's the only time where if you fail, you could get right back up real quick because you're starting from a failed place.
Right.
So find what you're meant to do. Find what your calling is. I spent money doing that, and I wish I wasn't put into the societal pressure of going to college and going through that and then leaving college and learning that I have to find my purpose. Because that's why a lot of people are lost. A lot of people go to college, they graduate, they're like, damn, now what? What am I supposed to do?
Right.
So imagine if you don't have that debt and you could take that time to find what your true calling is. So I would tell people, go find out. And it doesn't mean go off the grid and whatever. It could literally be you working on yourself every day for 2 hours while working a normal job.
Right.
You know? Like, it doesn't have to be this grand thing, but actually put time towards it. That's the big thing. Dedicate some type of time towards it, of what it is that truly brings you happiness. Because for everyone, it's different. And everyone has their own way. But
I think happiness is a state of mind.
It is. But how hard is it to stay in that state of mind in today's day and age?
Right. Good point.
So, yeah, that's what I would tell an 18-year-old self. If I could do it all over again, that's what I would do.
That's amazing, man. And we're going to end it just like that. This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Follow us on IG. Follow us on bigandlazy.com as our website. You want your socials out?
Olympus Lou on Instagram. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. So, appreciate
it. Lazy.
Appreciate you stopping by.
Another confirmed Time Media Productions confirmed.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat. Give us something good to watch.